My name is Steve Doyle. I'm 52. Today's date is May 1st, right? 2017. This interview is being conducted at the Old Town School of Folk Music, the fairly brand new building east in Lincoln Square, Chicago, Illinois. And my interview partner is Mike Dressler, and I guess he's a buddy of mine.
I'm Mike Dressler. I'm 25 years old. Today is May 1st, 2017, May Day. We are at the Old Town School of Folk Music's new building and at Lincoln Square. And Steve Doyle and I go way back to my first experience with the Old Town School ever taking lessons here. It was with Steve back in 2000, and I guess that would have been around 2013, I believe. Winter of 2013. I think so.
Dang.
It was a while ago. Not too long ago.
Armitage? Was it Armitage?
That was down at Armitage downstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had originally wanted to do some country and bluegrass stuff, and but I wanted to kind of do some of the telly stuff, so we were doing lessons down there. Yeah, that was my first experience with the school for lessons. I had bought some books here before,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, and then but I hadn't seen the Hoyle brothers or anything. I was unfamiliar with Stevie, but you were referred to me by Mr. Chris Walls.
Ah, yeah,
yeah. So that was cool. That was a while ago. You remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of even remember you saying Chris referred me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember. I remember we worked on Sweet Georgia Brown.
Yes. Yes, I play some of the licks that I learned from you verbatim to this day.
No kidding.
I'll have to
show them to me because I have no idea what they would be. And I remember you could play some Jerry Reed. You were playing something. You were working
Jerry's
on
Breakdown.
Jerry. Yeah, yeah. I don't know that.
Classic.
Yeah,
love
it's classic.
Jerry.
I can't play it. I never learned it.
I'm sure I'd do it wrong, but you know, I'm sure Jerry would have not minded.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a while ago, man. That was right before I joined my first bluegrass band. So you hooked it up, man. You got the juices flowing.
Good to know.
Yeah, man.
Good.
But yeah, now we're peers. I'm teaching at the school a little bit now.
That's right.
Teaching a little bit of mandolin. But I guess kick things off with we just talked about my first experience at the school. How long have you been involved with the school? What was your first experience with it? I should say.
Well, really, my first experience, I guess, was just walking in the Armitage location one day in 95.
Okay.
I guess. I had always heard about it. I don't know since when. You know, I don't know if going back to, I wouldn't say since I was a kid, but, and I'm not even sure if since I was in high school, but anyways, since I was in college and then, you know, a little right out of college, moving into Chicago, back into the city, and so I walked in and I said I had actually lived out of the state for a while. I was living in Colorado for a few years, kind of on and off.
Oh, yeah.
And I moved back in, I think, December of '94. I think I moved back to Chicago from Colorado, and I said, I got to go check out Old Town School. You know, I've always heard about this place, or I said, I don't know how long I'd been hearing about it. And so I went in. I just walked in some point in, I'd say, April or May of 95, maybe April. And there was a music store. You know, it was just the Armitage location at this point, at this time. And they had another building they rented. Was it 909 Armitage, right?
That's what it is.
Yeah, so they rented another building at like 9... 20.
Oh, that had the apartments.
Seven.
In it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what the address was, but it was a few buildings mm-hmm. over. Anyways, there was a music store in the music store, and I walked into the music store because there was a pretty girl in there.
Oh, wow.
So, Classic. Naturally, I beelined to the left instead of to the right where the office is.
Yeah, there you go. You didn't buy anything.
I don't remember if I did or not. I talked to the pretty girl, and I said, you know, I wasn't even looking for a job or anything. I just said, so who do you talk to about getting hired to teach around here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me Michael Miles' phone number.
Oh, wow.
Or whatever, the number. You said, oh, sure. Michael Miles.
Yeah.
Call him. And it was there were so few people there at the time, you know. The school was still pretty small, and it certainly the administration was really small. Mm-hmm. There was Michael and just a couple few other people really running the place, you know. And so she was really nice. And she doesn't live here anymore. She lives out in the West Coast now, that woman. Lisa Marcisek. So she's probably the first person I ever talked to at the Old Town School and met and became friends with, et cetera. Anyway, she gave me Michael Miles' number, and I called him up, you know, and said, hey, I got, you know.
I play guitar. Man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, I obviously his office number. So I called him up, and he said, well, really, tell me about yourself, you know. And I said, oh, you know, we chatted for a while, and he said, why don't you come on in, bring your guitar, you know. So I don't remember when it was, if it was the next day or whatever, we made an appointment, you know. And so I came in, and I brought in my, my resonator guitar, yep. And, you know, we chatted for a while. He interviewed me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I played, you know, he said, play me something, and, you know, I played something, and he kind of hired me on this. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he said he didn't really need anybody regular at the time. He said, you know, would you be interested in subbing for classes or something like that? I don't remember specifically. And I said, sure, you know. And so I got a call from him. Seems like it wasn't that long later. This was May at this point. He hired me in May, so of 95. So. So he called me like a week later, I don't know exactly, and said, yeah, I need somebody to sub a class on Thursday night or something mm-hmm. like that. I said, okay. So I showed up, and then I got a call a week later. Hey, I need somebody to sub on two classes on Tuesday night, whatever.
Boom.
It snowballed. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, a week or two later, hey, I need somebody to take a class on Tuesday nights.
Oh, fill in.
Okay, I'm on it. And then, hey, I need somebody to teach privates. This went, you know, mind you, from we don't really need anybody right now to, you know, and then, hey, pretty we need quick. Somebody to teach private lessons all day on Tuesday, you know.
Yeah.
And it just kind of started snowballing. And before I knew it, I really had all the work and all the teaching that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And by, I think, August, definitely by September of 95, I had a cooking job at a place in Wicker Park called Earwax Cafe.
All right.
I was a cook there. And I quit.
That's great.
Because I had enough work what teaching at that point that I said, okay, I'm not going to cook in the restaurant anymore. So, boom. So from like May to I think about August or maybe September at the latest, I quit Earwax.
And cool. And this has been your
so
job?
So I've been here ever since. Yeah, I've been here ever since.
Back in 95, huh?
95.
So that puts you around, how old did you say you were, Steve?
When I got hired here?
Yeah.
31.
About 31.
Yep. Yeah. 31, yeah.
That's cool. Yep. That's cool. So you weren't really settled down even necessarily. You just moved here?
Yep. Just
you,
moved back.
You weren't
back.
Married or?
Nope.
Nope, that's cool, man.
I just moved back to Chicago. That's right. Yeah,
that's why they got us here, man. The two long-haired dudes.
That's right.
The bachelor story.
Well,
man.
Back then there was like, there's still a bunch of them around, but there was Steve Levitt, Steve Rosen, we're both here. Steve Hutchins was here. Me, and I think there was even another one or two that I don't remember anymore. And it was if you said. Yeah, my teacher, Steve, which one?
Yeah.
The one with the long hair, which one? The one with the long hair and the beard, which one? You know, it's like, and we still got me and Rosen and Levitt are still hanging,
yeah, man.
Holding tough with the long hair and
I'll carry your
sometimes
legacy,
the beard.
Man.
Good.
Yeah.
Good man.
That's cool. That I would love to have seen the Old Town School at that time period. It was a different era for the Old Town School.
I think so. You know, yeah. I mean, it was a lot smaller. Kind of the most biggest differences that I can really maybe that stand out the most to me are it was really small, so that, and there was only the one building except for that rented thing a couple doors over, but really you would see everybody. I felt like I would see everybody that worked at the school every day that I was there. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
like you walk in, Michael Miles, Jim Hirsch, you know, a couple, three other, four other people, and the teachers, you know, and I would see everybody. And, you know, and then the pay for for private lessons, we kept track of them ourselves on index cards.
Jeez.
And there was a little drawer in the office, and you had your little slot where your index card was. And you had to go in there and mark, little Susie Johnson check came in for a lesson today. And when a student signed up, they only needed to pay for four lessons, I think, at a time, and then they could sign up. And then after that, some people would pay every week when they came in for their lesson.
Yeah.
Some people would fork a bunch down ahead of time. Some people would just not bother to pay forever. And you kind of had to keep track of that yourself.
Yeah.
And it was a little tricky because, you know, I had a lot of students back then. Actually, I taught way more back in, for several years. I was teaching a lot. I don't teach half of what I used to. And, you know, I don't know how many students at one time I ever had at the most, but I think for a while I kind of was averaging 20, 22, 23 private students with like four or five classes you know, it was like a lot of teaching.
So you're doing the private lessons, teaching just about anything people wanted.
Learning
chords, learning how to play a solo, whatever.
Yeah.
Group classes were you doing back then?
Core classes, and then
guitar core program.
Guitar core program, and then I think like I don't remember, you know, any sort of specialty classes that were cooked up. I was teaching. I mean, I taught a fingerboard theory, you know, for a little while, and I was teaching. Me and Jimmy co-taught an acoustic. Jimmy Tomasello co-taught an acoustic Stones class.
Oh, that's cool.
Many, many years ago, ensemble, I suppose it was, which was big. Actually, there was a lot of people in that once or twice, and then you know, things like that. I probably started the Richard Thompson stuff back then.
That's
and,
cool. He was just here recently.
Yeah. I missed him. I missed this last show. Stuff like that, you know. Over the years, I've taught, I was probably teaching, actually, I think I kind of took over the slide guitar classes for a while.
Sure.
I was the slide guitar guy, which I think I inherited that from Ted Parrish, probably.
Okay.
You're
also known for your Telecaster playing.
Yeah, that came later, actually.
Yeah.
A little later that year, 95, my SG and my National got stolen.
Oh.
So I bought a Telecaster in December of 95, and then I suppose eventually I became known for playing the Telecaster.
Sure.
Well, yeah, I forgot about that. Now I think about it, I was teaching slide guitar classes and, you know, probably lead guitar. For a little while, once the school moved up here to Lincoln Square in 98 maybe, or 99, I forget.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing, for a year or two, I think I did blues ensemble.
Sure.
Yeah. Various ensembles and not too many ensembles, but various sort of specialty classes.
Sure. So you're teaching at the school, young guy doing the whole thing, kind of finding your niche there, and you were picking with all these guys at the same time too.
True.
Who you're meeting, you're probably playing a lot of music.
Yep.
So you, what band were you playing in back around that time? Getting into at least.
I was playing. I moved back from. I was thinking about moving back to Chicago because I wanted to. When I was in Colorado, I was gigging, you know, enough out there. I was gigging, and I had a buddy that had a band in Chicago at the time that was kind of hitting pretty good. This band called Ulele, and they were playing like. So he didn't have a guitar player, and I said, "Hey, you still need a guitar player?" And he said, "Yeah, it's not going to be anybody unless if it's you." I grew up with this dude, you know. We went way back, and I said, "Okay." And I said, "Well, you know, I'm thinking about moving back to Chicago." And he says, "Well, we got a gig on such and such date," and I said, "Okay." This was around Christmas of '94, so I said, "I'll be there." And I showed up, and we played a gig at the Morrisland. I think was the first gig I played with them. And we play places like the Morseland and Double Door and
both of those are gone now.
Yeah, and Elbow Room and the Metro and I don't know. And we would do pretty well at all of them. Like kind of not the exception of the Metro, we would pretty much pack all those other
nice.
Rooms. And anyway, so I was playing with them, and. Teaching, and then I got a gig with, you know, that was the cool. So I moved back to Chicago. So I want to hang out in a scene for a while, put down some roots, blah 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 blah. So, and I thought about going some other places in the country, and I decided, screw it, I'm just going to go back to Chicago. And so I'm, you know, but that was one of the cool things about the school is you get to meet a lot of people, you know,
meet
of course, obviously,
meet an incredible amount of people, whether you're taking classes or you're teaching,
hanging out or doing whatever. Yep.
I kind of consider it an epicenter.
Yeah.
In the Midwest, especially for all sorts of music, but especially anything like bluegrass or country. You know, folk is in the name.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, that's why that's probably why I bothered to walk in the first place.
Yeah.
Just thinking, man, I got to go check this place out. What am I? I'm an idiot. I live in this city, you know. I got to get my butt over there, you know. So yeah, I met, you know, I got a gig with this blues rock band, I suppose you could call them, named A Couple of Fat Guys was the actual first incarnation, and I'd actually seen them. They were sort of old, they'd been kicking around the really kind of the Old Town and Lincoln Avenue club scene for a few years at that point.
That's another era that has passed. I've heard
I caught the tail end of that era a little bit.
Make a living playing music up and down Lincoln Avenue.
It's before my time, but I kind of caught the tail end of it with I saw a couple shows at Holstein's Club and Eddie Holstein's place and
legendary.
And I'd seen the Fat Guys probably at I can't remember the name of the place now, man, but he's another the old guy, what's his name, I'll think of it later, man. When the interview's over. But
what about do I recall you played in a bluegrass band with some guys who
did
here at the school?
So the Fat Guys, I'd seen them a few years back, and then later on I think Chris Winters was working with. At this point, they were called A Couple Fat Guys Band, I think. And I don't know if he couldn't do a gig. And it just goes to show you, I'm standing in the office at Old Town, I think. And Steve Levitt had worked with these cats. He knew these cats. The piano player singer in this band was this guy, Pat Hall, who was he's passed away now, but he was a Rogers Park guy. And he knew all these. That scene, the Lincoln Avenue scene, everybody,
oh, man.
They all knew each other, you know.
He knew
Chris Farrell way back and Levitt and all these cats. Anyways, I think Levitt was standing there going, nah, I can't do the gig tonight. Hey, Doyle. You know, I mean, it was literally that. Winters couldn't do it. They called Levitt, can you do this gig tonight? No, Doyle, you want a gig tonight? These guys, you'll love it. It'd be, okay, I'm on.
Yeah.
And they had some gig way the hell down on the south side somewhere, and I went into the gig, and the next thing I started working with them. I ended up working with Pat Hall for, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years or something. I don't remember. So then now suddenly I was playing with Ulele and the Fat Guys all over the place. And not too long after, like maybe 98 or 99, I don't remember exactly. So the Bluegrass guys, so Chris Walls and who you mentioned, and then this guy Gus Friedlander and Steve Rosen, and there was a whole bluegrass scene that was pretty happening. I think, man,
that's a pretty lethal crew right there.
Dobro
in that
and
band?
So I played Dobro. Yeah, I knew Gus. I was actually also teaching at Guitar Works in Evanston for a little bit too. And so I knew Gus, and we would pick a little, and I had actually gotten some experience with bluegrass. I played bass in a bluegrass band in Colorado for a couple of years, and I was kind of knew the repertoire anyways,
sure.
You know, not that I was like a fiery bluegrass guitar picker or anything like that, but anyhow, maybe this was 98, I don't remember exactly, and Gus was trying to set up, the band was Whiskey Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to set up a Whiskey Hollow tour of the UK.
Oh.
In the UK. And I maybe Steve Rosen will beg to differ when you guys, he gets interviewed. I don't know. And he didn't want to go. And so Gus one day asked me, I had just gotten a Dobro. Mm-hmm. I just bought a Dobro from, I had a elderly music. I had him ship
sometimes
me down a Dobro.
You just got to buy a Dobro.
You got to buy a Dobro. And Rosen didn't, he said, hey, do you play mandolin? We need a mandolin player for this tour. And I said, no, but I play the Dobro.
Yeah.
Because I just bought one.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I should have, more accurately, I should have said, I own a Dobro.
Yeah.
And he said, really? And bring it out and sit in with us, blah, blah, blah. So I started sitting in. They had steady gigs all over the place. It seemed like, well, anyways, I ended up playing with them for the next, I don't know how many years.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of BS'd my way into the gig and, you know, kind of really went to school there for a little while and tried to learn a bunch of stuff on Dobro real mm-hmm. quick, and then went and did this tour and then ended up, they had steady gigs at the time. They were playing at, I sat in with them at Shuba's and maybe started playing gigs with them. We were doing gigs at Shuba's. There was a place on Lincoln called, I don't remember, kind of a backwoods kind of flair to it, you know?
Oh, that place, Horseshoe.
No. It was near Mars. It was like, you know, I don't know. They had bears on the wall and stuff.
Sure, sure.
I can't remember what the name of it was.
So
Lincoln Tap.
It was around that. It was I think it's called Bricks now, is in the space.
Oh,
Grizzly.
Yeah.
Was it Grizzlies? It was Grizzlies or something like that.
I mean, yeah. I was learning how to use the bathroom by myself at this time.
Right. Well, I was doing that too, but.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, suddenly now I'm playing with all these different bands all at the same time. Ulele went on for several years and then kind of dissolved.
But this whole time, the Old Town School
was
the thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I was always teaching here, and it was at the center of all that stuff. Not the ukulele, that was a little off outside of it. But
did you say yeah. a particular person who had a big influence on you at the school, or like personally or professionally?
Well, you know, Michael Miles, really. I mean, he hired me and, you know, sort of
gave
me a chance, you know. Yeah, I mean, can we swear on this? Is this on HBO? You know, I wouldn't say I necessarily BS'd my way into the job, but I didn't have a ton of experience teaching. I mm-hmm. did have experience teaching, but, you know, I had, it's not like I taught at such and such store for 5 years or anything like that. You know, and then he actually set me on hooked me up kind of with Jimmy T and Steve Levitt, who are a couple of guys that have
been
around here for
100 years.
Yeah, 100-year collective experience
yeah.
of, you know, 120 years of collective music experience or whatever. But anyways, he said, you know, yeah, hang out with those guys. You got any questions? You know, maybe I even went and watched a class or two. I don't recall specifically. But he said, yeah, you'd like these guys. You know, you go check them out, hang with them, get to know these mm-hmm. cats, you know, they'll set you straight. So really, that was kind of it for me. There was another I really liked just personally, from a personal standpoint, and kind of his whole thing and what he was doing. I liked Mark Dvorak all the time.
Oh yeah,
and he was kind of my if I needed anybody to sub for me for something, I wanted to get him first off. He was kind of always my first call. And you know, and then all those guys were all playing all the time, too, at the time. Everybody had gigs everywhere. Mm-hmm. There was always, seems like somebody was always playing somewhere. So I was always, and then, like you were kind of asking or mentioning, you know, I was mm-hmm. young and footloose and fancy free. So, you know, there was no dogs to go home and feed and no, I wasn't married. There was no mortgage.
I mean,
there was no kids.
That's what I'm doing right now.
You're living the dream.
That's
baby.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a good life, you know.
Yeah, it was good. So, you know, I was working, there's a club called The Hideout that.
Hideout.
I'm sure you guys know.
Oh, we love The Hideout.
And at the time, when I started working at the school, I was living at Chicago and Ashland, and the only location for the school, of course, was Armitage and Sheffield. So, pretty much right in between was mm-hmm. The Hideout for me, about halfway home. So. Needless to say, I made my way to The Hideout quite a bit back in those days, and there was always
absolutely.
Music going on, and it was a great place. And
What about kind of in your earlier days? Is there a particular teacher who kind of had a big influence on you? Or
teaching at the school here?
Here or otherwise, yeah.
I had an, well, I started off, I was a trombone player, was my first axe.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I started playing a trombone in the band program of public schools in the state of Illinois. So I was 10 in fifth grade, and I played violin for 3 months in fourth grade. I wish I stuck with it. I didn't. It's really silly why I didn't, but
I did that same age, man. Suzuki people come to the school.
Yeah, you know, like the orchestra, they start in fourth grade, and I started on the violin. Three of my buddies, or whatever, some of my buddies were doing it. And I said, yeah, me too. And then they all quit, and I said, yeah, me too. And I'll never forget the look on the orchestra conductor's face when I told her I was quitting. She just looked at me like, you're just a stupid kid, aren't you? You know,
it's kind of funny how that is. You're growing up, and you're a you want to play music, but you know you're a kid, you don't really understand it and stuff, and you kind of leave that behind. Then you come back to it when you're a little bit older, you kind of want to play music, you want to make art.
Yeah.
And now you're a teacher here.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of I think
get back into it.
Oh, well, so I'm fifth grade then, and so I quit, and so then fifth grade the band starts, and my parents, I'm the oldest of six kids, my parents said, we really want you to play an instrument. You know, I wasn't into sports, really. I played a little bit of baseball, and I was terrible. And I said, okay, that's cool. And I said, I want to play the drums. I liked music. You know, I was already buying, I think at, I don't know, how old were you, fifth grade? I was definitely buying 45s at the already, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And my parents had some records that I listened to, and I loved the radio. But I was buying music, I think. I was buying 45s already. I think I bought my first LP in sixth grade. So anyhow, they said, I said, okay, I want to play the drums. And I swear, my mom denies this. She said, no, you got to play a real instrument. She wouldn't let me play the drums. Denied. And then I said, okay, give me the tenor saxophone.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. And the band people denied me, and they said, no, you got buck teeth. You got to play a brass instrument.
Look at that smile.
Can you believe this? So then I said, okay. I'm like, dang, strike two, you know. So I said, okay, give me the trombone. They said brass. I said, okay, give me the trombone. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that'd be cool. So I started playing the trombone, you know.
Yeah.
And then three years later, I don't know exactly when. I think 3 years later, I begged for a guitar and got a guitar.
You have to beg to play the guitar.
Yeah, I mean, I think I used to see him hanging up in a junior high music class that for some reason I didn't have this general music class. And I think I recall seeing guitars hanging on the wall and thinking those are cool, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I finally got one, I think Christmas of eighth grade, I think is when I got a guitar. And
did you see that back then as being a career thing?
No. I just wanted to play guitar.
The world is the big guitar for you. Know,
yeah,
you
know, I just wanted to play guitar. I heard it on the radio and loved it.
Yeah,
yeah. I knew I wanted to play, and I still played trombone. So I started playing guitar, and then I played trombone all through high school. I played in the marching band, the concert band, and the jazz band. And when I was a sophomore in high school, the band director said, I heard you play guitar, and I said, yeah. And he said, why don't you play in the jazz band? And I said, but I don't know how to.
Yeah.
And he said, bring it in. And so what you were asking about, Mareva, so I had this band director that was a bit of a – he was pretty intense and pretty awesome and sort of one of those once-in-a-lifetime teachers that you run into. So that was my high school band director, a guy named Bill Carroll, who was a real tyrant on the podium – but was like the best guy ever off and very inspirational and so forth. And then he was killed after my junior year of high school. It was very tragic. And but anyways, he kind of really kicked my ass to play the guitar. And I around that same time, I think I started taking lessons. And I ended up taking lessons. I don't recall specifics. But I definitely ended up taking lessons for probably – two and a half years in high school would be my estimation. And I had a couple of teachers, a guy named Jeff, I think his last name was Ehrlich, that I really liked. And he was kind of he would have fit right in at the Old Town School, in fact. But he was a real positive influence on me. I really liked him. I really liked taking lessons with him. I really thought I learned a lot from him.
Do you think that influences your teaching style and kind of the way you roll these days, so to speak?
That's a good question. I don't know. Probably somehow.
Yeah.
You know, probably subliminally. He made it a lot of fun. I know that. And he would, he was stylistically, like, he was like a classic rock guy, but from an acoustic perspective. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Like, yeah. So I don't remember what he taught me, what songs, you know, probably mm-hmm. like Feeling Groovy. What's the 59th
yeah,
Street
50,
Bridge
yeah.
song? And, you know, I don't know, but probably some Neil Young, and, you know, mm-hmm. and I was eating it up, man.
Yeah.
This is great, you know. And then meanwhile, I'm playing in the jazz band, and I started playing rock and roll with my buddies. And then eventually this guy, Jeff, passed me on and said, you got to go with this guy now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're. I don't know if he said you're past me or whatever, but he just said, I think you should start taking lessons from this guy. And there was another guy named Greg. I can't think of his name right now, his last name. And he was more of a real sort of hardcore, hard-ass jazz, bebop jazz and classical mm-hmm. guy. And he, you know, kind of kicked my ass. And
yeah.
Then, yeah, so he kicked my ass in high school.
Kicking ass is
yeah,
good?
Yeah, so that was sort of my, he was, you know, made me run scales and all that
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of things. Yeah.
You say those, all these teachers who kind of influenced you, they kicked your ass. But what do you think are kind of the lessons that they taught you? Like, if you can, you know, talk a little more about them and the things that stick out in your mind that influences you, you know, as a player or as a teacher.
Well, I actually always tell this story about Greg. I can't remember his last name, man. Who I didn't like as much as a person as Jeff, but he really was getting me to do a lot of stuff. I mean, he was really pushing me nicely, you know, and he wasn't too much of a hard ass about it, but he was a hard ass. But anyways, I think he taught at some conservatory down here somewhere in the mm-hmm. city too. And he was really into classical and he played jazz. He hated Pat Metheny because he didn't pick that many notes. So mm-hmm. he didn't
yeah.
think he was a good player. He was
oh,
one of those
gosh.
Kind of guys, you know, like if you don't pick every note, you're really not oh. that much of a player, are you?
That's a
you
whole
know?
Different conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right
so that's what I mean.
Oh,
like, so I wasn't, you know, I didn't, you know, we didn't see eye to eye maybe on mm-hmm. everything. But anyhow, one thing that he did say to me that I tell this story all the time is having said that, he also said to me one time, whatever the best way for you to do something on guitar, whatever works best for you, that's the best way to do it.
Oh.
And I went, okay.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
in my little 15 or 16-year-old brain, mm-hmm. I went, oh, okay, that makes sense to me.
That'll echo through us.
Yeah,
life,
yeah.
Though,
so,
yeah.
So, I mean, I use that one. It's like, well, if that finger doesn't, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, because
I think that's a great attitude.
Yeah, you know, so here's this guy, like Mr. Classical, study, perfect your technique mm-hmm. and all that. Yet,
but at the end of the day.
Yet, yeah. at the end of the day, he would, you know, he told me that mm-hmm. too. And I wish I could remember his name right now, but.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got some
yeah,
little
sorry
things
if I,
right here. Oh.
What would you say about Old Town School's influence on your life? Just how would you say the school has influenced your life?
I've
been here like
20s.
20
yeah, I've been here over 20 years. Yeah. That's a time. I'd have to say it's basically enabled me to do what I do. If I don't know if that's a little vague, maybe, but I mean, it. You know, I don't have to cook in a restaurant anymore.
Yeah. I feel like a place like the Old Town School exists for so many different people besides the people taking lessons.
Yeah,
for the artists who play here, for the people who teach here,
right?
It just is like a place where all the knowledge can kind of meet at once.
Yeah,
which is really cool. You've been here for 20 years.
Yep,
and you've taught probably hundreds, maybe thousands of people by now.
Yeah. Definitely. I can't remember them all. I wish I could.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I'm glad you remember me, man.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a while back. But just going off of that, you've been teaching here for 20 years, and you've probably learned a lot. What's something that you feel like that's one of, like, a moment or a class that really stuck out to you?
Boy. I don't know. I mean, there's, I don't know. What something comes to mind immediately is just a few years ago, not that many years ago, three or four, I had a Guitar Forever class. And
that's like the last core guitar class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Years ago, there was Guitar 6.
Oh, wow.
And there was a five rep and a six. And, you know. But anyways, yeah, so Forever, and we played The Wichita Lineman,
mm-hmm.
by Jimmy Webb, I think, and it was really beautiful.
Yeah.
It was just...
Yeah, no, I've had so many...
Brought the house down.
Yeah.
Like, can I get that... I mean, every teacher was, I want that chart, and blah, 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 and we videotaped it, and it was just beautiful. Was great. Yeah, it was great.
Those were some of the great moments at the Old Town School.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Kind of piggybacking on that, the school is, I feel like everyone's kind of got a story of some odd or unusual, let's say, that has happened to them or that they've witnessed at the school. Do you have any kind of, I don't know, memories or Old Town School stories or characters like that come to mind?
Yeah, probably. Oh, boy, I don't know. Let me think about it. God, I missed the Towns Van Zandt show where he, I think, just kind of laid down on stage and stopped or something. I heard about it from my friend Lisa, who I met here. I saw Dave Van Ronk here a long time ago. He was pretty weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great. He was pretty weird. Yeah, I don't know. I've had some interesting students over the years that, you know.
For sure.
Like everything from, you know, somebody who just wants to talk and they're the nicest person in the world. They're clearly not going to play any guitar, to like somebody that's just, you know, really stoned. can't even function, you know.
And teaching at the school can be an adventure.
Yeah. To like, you know, I don't know. Nearly 80-year-olds who are the most enthusiastic, like just hardworking, like amazed to, you know, I don't know, to little kids who are the same way, maybe, you know, and their fingers won't do it, but they're so psyched and they're so into it that it's, you know, it's great.
That's sweet, man.
Yeah.
Teaching music is a service to society.
You
run into all different corners of society.
Yeah, I came up with this a few weeks ago. I said to a friend of mine, I said that we were both in the, she does something else entirely, but I said we were both in the soul care business profession.
Be like therapy.
Yeah. So I was thinking, I'm not a healthcare professional, but I'm a soul care professional.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Can you talk a little more about
since we're playing music, a lot of people that are this was a student of mine who, she had no aspirations to be a professional musician necessarily, you know, and so many people don't. But why are you playing music? Because I want to just do something fun and beautiful and relaxing, and I can join with other people and do something that's going to make everybody happy, and do something for my soul and make me feel good and so forth, without trying to sound too hippy dippy or anything, you know. So that's what I mean, like, so that I'm just trying to nurture that, you know. And some people are, I mean, I don't know where I ever got the nerve to try to do this for a living, but at some point I decided I did, you know, but it's not necessary, you know.
Is there anything else you guys want to share? Either you, Mike, with Steve, or anything you
want to say,
Steve, about school?
Nothing too wild. I've got to say, I'm always inspired by Mr. Steve Doyle. We have a lot of similarities personally, mostly physically.
you're a little taller in stature. But
we got sideburns and ponytails right now. We're both wearing Timberland boots.
That's right.
But we love to pick tunes.
We do love to pick.
That is the this silly slang for jam for those of you out there listening. picking. I like to say picking, not pick in, because I'm not from the South.
And nor am I. Yeah. Picking. Yeah, there needs to be more picking going on. There hasn't been as much. It's harder when you get, like, if we were hanging 20 years ago, if the ages corresponded more, we'd be doing a lot more picking. But now I was late getting here because I had to drop my daughter at dance class. So that's how it goes sometimes.
Speaking of which, do you want to pick a tune together at the end? Or you don't know?
You got an axe with you?
I got my telly over.
I got this guitar here and that mandolin there if you want to, but no pressure.
We could.
Let's play. Are we going to play a tune? Let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Do it.
I'll grab that mando. You want to grab that? Sure. We're going to do it on the Old Town School instruments.
That sounds great.
Let's do it, man. I hope so.
It's mostly in tune last time.
Is that your, that's your G?
Tuning.
What should we play?
Faded Love.
Sure.
Oh, I moved the mic. Should I move this? Yeah.
Fine instrument to
yeah.
Right, am I in tune with you now? Did I get?
Let me hear your open G chord. Sounds pretty good to me, man.
Hit it. Hey, love, what key?
What do you do with the boys in A?
We could do A. We do it. I think we did it in D. We do it in D, but
D.
Doesn't matter to me. What's better on the mando?
2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Yeah, that's...